Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking tonight at verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 15. I read a story about two painters that were asked to paint a picture illustrating peace. Now you think in your mind, how would you paint a picture that illustrated peace? One of the painters decided to paint a painting that was a beautiful evening scene in the foreground of the of which was a lake, and the surface was absolutely calm with no ruffles on it at all, and the trees surrounded it, and the meadow stretched out in the background, and the cows were gently browsing in the field behind, and there was a little cottage off to the side, and the setting sun was dipping down behind the scenery in the background. It was just a beautiful picture. The other author, or the other painter, he painted quite the opposite of a painting. He had he drew a wild, stormy scene with heavy black clouds hanging overhead. In the center of the picture was an immense waterfall with the water thundering down. You can almost hear the water crashing upon the rocks below. And in the center of this whole scene, there's a rock overhanging a ledge, and underneath the rock was a little bird sitting there on the shelter of the ledge, singing its song. And you know, that is the kind of picture of peace that we have in the midst of storm. You know, it's one thing to be at peace when all is going well. I mean, anybody can be at peace when all is going well. But to be at peace in the midst of a storm is what we really need. You know, it isn't so much, I mean, we all need peace, and it's great to have peace even when things are going well. But the times we really need peace is when things are going wrong. Everything's caving in. The thunder and the storms around us, and that is when we need peace. And tonight we're going to be looking at the armor of peace that God gives us. Verse number 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, it's important as you look at this verse, the verse seems kind of incomplete. Well, it's because it is. It's missing the opening statement, which begins back at the beginning of 14, where he says, "Stand therefore," and then he gives us three things we're to do. Stand therefore, number one, having your loins girt about with truth. Number two, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he says we're to stand having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, as we look at this, again, we're going to be answering three important questions about this armor that will help us understand it. First question is this: of what significance was the shoes to the soldier? We're going to get the picture that Paul is trying to portray and the Spirit of God is trying to help us to learn. We need to understand a little bit about the soldier and about his shoes. If we don't understand this, we're not going to catch what he's talking about. Roman soldiers wore sandals into battle. Now, I think if I was going into battle, I'd want something more than sandals on, but that's what they wore. But their sandals were special sandals that were made for the battle. And he says here that they were to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod there, it literally means to be underbound or to bind underneath your feet. The idea was that they took this piece of thick leather and bound it to their foot on the bottom to give protection to the bottom of their foot. They're binding it. So that when he says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it means to have your feet bound with this leather underneath them to protect them, to give them a better footing. Now, the soles were thickly studded with nails in these special army boots that they wore. They were kind of like football spikes or golf shoes of that type of thing that have the spikes on the bottom of it to give them better footing. And so these sandals were not just the normal ones. They needed this firm grip that they would get through this. These spikes were on the bottom of their sandals, and this was to help them during the hand-to-hand combat. You can just imagine, if they're fighting hand-to-hand combat, you don't want to slip and fall. The last thing you want to do is slip and fall. You slip and fall, maybe the last time you slip and fall, because the enemy will overtake you. And so you had to have firm footing. You had to have solid foundation under your feet. Now the sandals were also to protect their feet. If they were wounded, in the foot, then they couldn't run. They couldn't take off to protect themselves. They couldn't defend themselves. They couldn't run to escape if they needed to do that. They needed to have their feet protected. But this foot protection also often included greaves. Now, the word grieve is one of those kind of words that are confusing in English, because we talk about grieving when somebody dies or grieving when you have something go wrong. But greaves here that is used something totally different. It referred to a shin pad or a protection on the lower leg, the front of the lower leg, that was made of brass. And it would go from the knee down to cover the front, a shield over the front part of the leg. These were called greaves. And we find that they are mentioned over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 6 with Goliath, the great soldier that fought against David. And it says there in 1 Samuel 17:6, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. So here Goliath was armed with the armor of the soldier of the day, with the not only the shoes but these greaves of brass that were part of the shoe protection, and often considered part of the same thing. So the soldier's feet were shod or strapped on with these sandals that had spikes in the bottom, protected their over top of their foot as well, and the greaves up their leg to give them the protection, stability, and the ability to run and not fall in all sorts of battle-type situations. Now, God uses this to describe one of our pieces of armor. And he says our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, how does God apply this to our spiritual warfare? Well, let's take a look. First of all, to win the battle against temptation, we must be able to stand firmly. We cannot slip and fall. If we're out and the devil is attacking us, we don't want to slip and fall. If we fall, what's going to happen? The devil is going to pounce on us and devour us. And we need to be able to stand firm. And remember again, it's very important, even if you have to mark it in your Bible somehow, verses 14 and 15 go together, and stand therefore is the verb that starts the command. Stand therefore, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so he's saying part of standing is having our feet shod with this preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, as with the belt and with the breastplate, putting our shoes on our feet is again in the middle voice, aorist tense. We've talked about that the last two messages. Aorist voice means it's something that took place in the past. The middle voice speaks of the fact that we need to do it to ourselves. So we need to put on the belt ourselves, the belt of truth. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness ourselves. And we need to put on the shoes of peace ourselves. It is all something we do ourselves. It doesn't imply here that we don't need God's help. It is God's armor, but we're to put it on. It's God's armor, but we're to put it on. And so we need to get involved here, and we need to put it on our own spiritual combat boots. We need to put them on if we're going to be able to win the battle against sin. Now, the word preparation is a key word. It says there, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word preparation there has to do with the act of preparing or readiness or having firm footing. It's being ready to have the footing firmly established. You're prepared, you're ready. You've got your feet ready to go. You know, it's kind of like when you're going camping, you got to get all ready. You get all your camping gear ready and you take it all ready. Or when you're going on a trip, you get the car all ready. And so the car's ready to go. And so it is with our battle. He says we need to have our feet shod in preparation, all in readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, the idea here is to have our mind is to be steadied, to kept from fear and flutter by means of the good news of peace. This is a quote from the pulpit commentary. He says that we need to have our mind steadied, kept from fear and flutter by means of the gospel of peace. And so, that in mind, it helps us to understand what he's talking about. Now, the Christian's firm footing is to be the gospel of peace. Now, I've heard different people preach it from different perspectives. Some people say, you know, this is talking about being a witness for Christ. Well, I don't really think so. Here's the reason why. It is God's armor. It's not mine. It's not something I do. I am taking God's armor and putting it on. And as I put on God's armor, God's saying, you need to put on the gospel of peace. Now, the word gospel there refers to good news. It's the good news of God's peace that He gives us. Now, as we think about this, remember that being God's armor, we learned in weeks past that God's armor was, we are to put on the person, the power, and the panoply of God. All right, we need to put on the person of God, verse number 10. He says that God is our strength. We need to depend on His power. Again, in verse number 10, it is God's power, not my power, that's going to give me victory. And then we need to put on His panoply, that whole armor of God. So these three things are the armor that we need and God wants us to put on. So it is God's armor, and the demonic enemy is too powerful for us. We need God's protection. We need that. And because this armor is defensive, in other words, you understand the difference between offense and defense. Offense is the things you use to attack with. Defense is the things you use to defend yourself, protect yourself with. And so this is defensive. It is protection against the enemy. It is not offensive. It is defensive. And so I believe he's speaking here of the peace that the gospel gives us. It's the peace that we get from the gospel. And God wants us to have that peace if we're going to be able to stand strong. And I think you'll catch on as I speak a little bit more on this and explain what I mean. A couple of quotations from a couple of different commentators. Lenski puts it this way. He says, "Here the preparation which makes us fully ready to plunge into the fight of a readiness inspired by the gospel." All right, so it's a readiness that is inspired by the gospel. Then also, Dunnigan says this. He said, "The Christian who does not have a firm footing in the gospel message is totally unprepared." Now, the gospel refers to the good news. Right? Now, when we think of the gospel, if somebody asks you, what is the gospel? What would you say? Well, the gospel has three basic elements in it. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the payment of my sin. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And so if we were to put the gospel of the New Testament into a nutshell, that's what we would say. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to pay for our sins and to set us free. And so that is the good news. The word gospel literally means good news. And so this is the good news that God has washed away my sins, paid for my sins. Now, this good news is mentioned in several different verses throughout the Bible, but a couple examples. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, "But God committed His love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him." So He died for us, and He saved us from God's wrath through Christ. That's the good news. That's the good news. Also, we read over in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because we're justified. Now, remember what justified means. It means we're to be made perfectly just in the sight of God, perfectly clean in the sight of God. And because we have cleansing through Christ, we have peace with God. We don't have to be afraid of God. God's not angry with me anymore because I have peace with Him provided by Jesus Christ because He paid for my sin. So the peace of God is that which gives is part of the gospel. And He tells us then the next question we need to ask ourselves then is, how can we put on the shoes of peace? How do we put those on? And as we look at this, all that we have as a Christian is possible because of the gospel of Christ. You know, you think about it. Our home in heaven, forgiveness of sin, peace with God, reconciliation, the ability to pray, the ability to communicate with God. All the things we have as a Christian are because of the gospel. I can't think of anything we have as a Christian that isn't because of the gospel. Everything we have is because Jesus came, He died for me, rose again to give me eternal life and all the blessings that go along with that. Now, because of that, because He paid for all that, He has given us peace. Now, we have the opportunity to have peace with God, but that doesn't mean we always have peace with God. Because sometimes we drift away from God. Now, if we're going to have peace with God, we must daily put on the shoes of peace. He calls them the shoes of peace because they give us stability, they give us strength. You know, if we don't have peace, our whole life, we can't face trials, we can't face struggles, we can't face the problems of life if we don't have peace in our heart. You know, you stop and think about it, the different times when you have faced difficulties. If you have peace in your heart, that you're right with God and all is well and God's in control, I've got nothing to worry about, then the problem isn't nearly as big. But when we start fretting and thinking, well, I'm all by myself, nobody cares, and God doesn't love me anymore, and everything's caving in, and I can't handle this, even a little problem can get us down. And so we need that peace. And so he's talking about wearing peace like shoes with the grip on the bottom that are strapped on our feet to protect us, that we might be able to have firm footing. So when the devil comes and starts attacking us and starts throwing his darts at us, that we have a firm footing and we have peace with God so that we can stand strong without fretting and worrying. Now, how do we keep that peace with God? How do we get that peace? Well, there's probably a lot of different ways we could say it, but I've listed four ways that we need to daily put on the shoes of peace. All things that you're all familiar with, but they're very important. Number one, we need to renew peace through inspection and confession. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, every day we need to ask God to search our hearts. We need to say, God, have I done anything that has offended you? Have I been disobedient to you in any way? Have I neglected anything I shouldn't do? Have I said anything or done anything or thought anything that was wrong? God, show me, open my eyes that I might know what I have done that may have offended you. And then I need to get it right with God. You know, one of the reasons that Christians struggle against temptation is because they're not willing to examine their heart before God and then humble themselves and get it right. If we are not willing to humble ourselves and get it right with God, we cannot expect to have peace with God. We can't. Because in order to have peace with God, we've got to be right with God. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So if we'll confess and forsake our sin, God says, I'll give you mercy. And we'll be at peace with God. So the first thing we need every day, we need to have that inspection and confession time. Number two, we need to have a daily Bible time. We really need to. And I know I've emphasized this over and over again, and I hope all of you are having a daily Bible time. I don't come around, and maybe I should. You know, some preachers are more bold than me, and they'll walk right up to you and say, what you been reading in your Bible lately? And maybe I should do that. You know, but that's not my personality to get right in your face and ask you point blank, are you reading your Bible and what did you learn today? But we really need some of that sometimes, because if we aren't confronted with it, many times it's easy to just float along and, oh yeah, I read something yesterday, a couple of verses, you know, somewhere along the line. What were they? Well, I don't remember, but, you know, I did read something. We need a time every day. And you know, one of the things that I found even in this trip that we just took, maybe you're not as much like me in this area, but I am a scheduled person. I mean, I do things the same every day. Every day I get up about the same time, and the first thing I do after I get dressed and cleaned up, I go have my Bible time with God. And you get traveling, and you're out of your norm, and you're in somebody else's house, and sleeping on somebody else's bed, and everything's different, and you're on their time schedule instead of my time schedule, and oh, it's hard to fit in the time to read my Bible and pray and spend time with God like I need to. And so I had to work extra hard at that, at trying to fit it in where it didn't fit normally. But you know, I hope that you'll establish in your own heart, in your own walk with God, a specific time every day when you spend time with God. If you don't do that, it won't be consistent. You know, if you just have, well, whenever I think of it, I'll read my Bible a little bit, it's not going to work. You need a specific time every day where you say, that is my Bible time. Nothing comes in the way of that. That's my Bible time. And, you know, for parents, it may mean getting up early or staying up late because the kids are, you know, always in need. Whatever your situation, you need to find a time when you can be consistent. Because if you don't, you won't be consistent. And that's part of our armor. We need that in order to have peace with God. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you want peace with God, you need to love God's word. Psalm 119, 165. Now, not only that, but we need to, number three, walk in the Spirit so that He can produce His fruit in our lives. We know that to be true, but sometimes we don't allow Him to take control of our life. We don't stay close enough to God so that the Spirit of God is able to produce His fruit in our life. Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And He says that these are to be part of my life. They're to come out of my life through the Spirit of God working in me and through me. But many times that doesn't happen. Why? Because we don't get our sin right with God, and we don't spend time with God in the Word, and we don't allow the Spirit of God to take control. But that's what needs to be in our life if we're going to have God's peace. But then also, number four, we need to thank God regularly for His peace. You know, sing praises to God. You know, you might not be able to carry a tune, but at least you can sing. God didn't ask us to sing like a bird. He just asked us to sing. You know, there's lots of verses in the Bible. I'm memorizing some of those verses that talk about singing. Or it says, to sing unto the Lord and sing praise unto the Lord. And Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 95:1, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. God wants us to sing. And we need to sing praise to Him and dwell upon verses that give us peace. You know, when you have a heart that is singing to the Lord and happy and rejoicing in the Lord, it is a sign of peace inside. You know, if we can't sing and rejoice and praise God, many times it's because something's wrong inside. We don't have peace with God. And we need to have that peace, and it ought to be reflected in our thankfulness, in our joyfulness, in our song. And we saw that in Ephesians 5, verse 19 as well. So first of all, we need to have a daily Bible daily time putting on the shoes of peace. But then second, we need to give our burdens to the Lord. If we're going to have God's peace, we need to give our burdens to the Lord. If we keep our burdens, they will worry and weaken us. If we hold on our burdens, they're going to worry and weaken us. And I can't even begin to count the times when I've kept my burdens, and they did just that. They worried me, and they weakened me. They didn't help me at all. But it's when we give our burdens to the Lord that He will give us that peace. Memorize verses like Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says, if I give my burden to Him, He'll give me His peace. And then verse 8 of that same section, Philippians 4, 8, says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So what happens is we give our burdens to the Lord, He gives us peace, and then God says, think on right things. You know, how many times have we done that? We give our burdens to the Lord. Lord, You've got to help me. I've got this big problem. And God gives us peace. Oh, I'm so glad for that. And then we start thinking about the problem again. Oh. And then the problems come right back. Why? Because we didn't do what God said. He said, give me your burden, I'll give you peace, and then you think right. Think right. And so that verse is very important that we keep those verses together, because if we don't think right, we're going to go right back into it again, and we're going to be back to worrying, fretting, and troubled again, and we lose our peace. So we need to give our burdens to the Lord. So first of all, we need to have a daily time putting on those shoes, and then secondly, we need to give our burdens to the Lord. And as we think about this, giving our burdens to the Lord, we need to claim the peace that He gives us when we're afraid. You know, we need to claim that peace that He gives us. There's a verse over in the Psalms that says, in what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. Trust in the Lord with time we're afraid. You know, and Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I give you peace. I'll give you the peace. Don't let your heart be afraid. You need to trust in me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, that's a hard thing to comprehend. If you conquer, that means you won, that you defeated the enemy. He said we can be more than conquerors, greater than a conqueror, if we will give our troubles to the Lord and let him work in us and through us. And then we need to keep on wearing the peace for stability. We need to keep on wearing it. So we need to get the peace of God by doing what God wants us to do, having a time of inspection and confession and Bible reading and walking in the Spirit and thanking God and praising God for what he's done for us. Then we need to give our burdens to the Lord, but then we need to keep the peace that he gives us. Keep that peace. And we keep God's peace by fleeing wrong and following right. Very important verse for us to remember is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says, flee and follow. Flee and follow. You know, every time we get a victory in our life, we must do this. There's two actions. If you give up something wrong, you must replace it with something right. Because if you don't, it leaves a void there, an emptiness. And Satan is quick to fill it full of bad again. So we need to give it to God and then fill it with good things. So he says, flee youthful lust, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So there's those two actions, flee and follow. Then also in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7, we read, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. If our ways please the Lord, if we're doing what is right, God is working for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And if God is on our side, we cannot be defeated by the devil if we're walking close to God. It's the same thing we talked about that verse earlier, Romans 8 and verse 33, where he talks about who can lay any charge to God's elect. It is God that justifies. So if God has justified us, if God's given us peace, if God's given us the cleansing, then Satan can't attack us in that. We've got to claim the things that God has done for us. So we need to keep wearing the peace by doing what is right, by fleeing wrong and following right. But then also we need to let God control our thoughts. We need to let God control our thoughts. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. God says we need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Now, as we think about what he's telling us here in this section, just a little verse in the Bible, not a very big one, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God wants me and you to every day put on the shoes of peace. It is God's peace. He gives us because we are saved. It's the peace that we received at salvation, but we need to put it on every day. Not just claiming, oh yes, I was saved a long time ago and, you know, God gave me peace back then, but no, I need peace today as well. And I can have peace with God. Once I'm saved, I have access to God. I can come to God and have a close fellowship with God. I can have peace with God. And I can come to Him, confess my sin, get right with God, spend time with God in the Bible, let the Spirit of God take control of my life, and I can be rejoicing and thankful in what God has done for me. I can have God's peace. Then I can give my burdens to the Lord and to cast my burden on Him, and He'll sustain me. And I need to give it to Him, and then I need to keep wearing that peace by doing right. Flee wrong, follow right. And if we will do that, we can have the peace of God. It is called the gospel of peace because it is based upon the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to give us peace with God. And because of that, we can have peace with God on a daily basis. Now, you stop and think about it in your life, and I think you'll find the same thing that I have found. I do not have victory against temptation and sin if I do not have peace with God. If I'm not right with God, let's be honest. If I'm not right with God, I don't even care whether I defeat sin. You ever been in that kind of a feeling? You know, if you're not right with God, you just feel like, well, I don't really care. You know, I know God doesn't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I don't want to fight it. But I don't have that kind of an attitude if I'm right with God. If I have peace with God, it's, oh, I want to please God. I want to do what's right, and I can have victory. But we lose our desire to do what is right if we don't have peace with God. And so we need to keep that peace with God, and it gives us a firm footing, like the spikes in the shoes that keep us from falling, keeps us strong, keeps us faithful, because we have peace with God. And so as we think back over these two verses that go hand in hand, verse 14 and 15, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The belt of truth we are to wear, that we might be able to defend be defended by reminding us of this, that our sinfulness is washed clean, and the truth of that, and the breastplate of righteousness, that we are clean before God, and we need to claim His cleansing. And so we've got the truth that God gives us, we're to think on things that are true, and claim His cleansing, and then put on the shoes of peace that will keep us in peace with God. Now, as salvation, God forgave our sins and reconciled us and gave us peace. And that peace can be kept if we will flee wrong and follow right. And so tonight, we need to just put on the combat boots that God wants us to wear. If we're going to defeat the devil this week, get at peace with God. You know, deep down in your heart right now, if you're not at peace with God, you're not going to have victory this week. If there's something between you and God, you're not going to have victory this week. And many times, we're our own worst enemy because we will not humble ourselves to get the things right with God. Our relationship with others, our habits, our thoughts, whatever it might be, if we are not willing to get right with God, we don't have peace with God, and then we don't have victory over sin. So we need that peace with God. So these three pieces of armor that we've looked at so far are all dealing with what God wants to do in us and through us if we will claim His truth, claim His righteousness, and claim His peace. We can have victory. And one thought I want to leave us with tonight, and that is this. Lacking God's peace is like going barefoot into battle.